Welcome to this week's Who the Folk podcast. I'm Lonnie Goldsmith, the editor of TC Jew Folk. This week I talked to Sonia Rapport, the organizer of Heritage Judaica and the director of congregational engagement at Beth Jacob. We talk about why she was drawn to working in the Jewish nonprofit world, taking over Heritage from founder Adam Schwartz, and the new arts and culture series at Beth Jacob on this week's Who the Folk podcast. But before we get started, be sure to check out some of the other podcasts Jew Folk produces, like The Jews Are Tired, where Lev Gringaz is taking a deep dive into Jewish news, Kumbah Hineni, Jew Folk's podcast on intersectionality with your host NZ Tanner, and Not Your Bubby's Nosh, where host Mike Asiva has just finished season one of Jew Folk's rebranded food podcast. Go to tcjewfolk.com/podcast to learn more. Sonia Rapport, welcome to the Who the Folk podcast. Thank you for joining me.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You are very welcome. So you wear a couple of different hats in the Twin Cities Jewish professional world. I want to start with the one you've been doing the longest, which is you're the organizer, director of Heritage Judaica here in the Twin Cities. Is there, I mean, you're the, it's a one person operation, so you can give yourself whatever title you want, I suppose.
Sounds like I'm the CEO of Heritage Judaica. No, but really I'm just trying to carry the torch after Adam. He started a phenomenal like grassroots initiative, and I'm just trying to keep that going by continuing to organize and you know, make sure that Heritage Judaica stays in the Twin Cities.
You know, I talked to Adam for Who the Folk shortly after Heritage Judaica launched, and I was sort of amazed at what almost a novel concept it was. For people who don't know, what can you explain a little bit more about what Heritage Judaica is and how it functions?
Yeah, absolutely. It is just a brilliant idea that he had that is so beneficial to the community. So effectively what this initiative does is we'll take donations from people that have Judaica for whatever reason, whether they got five Kiddush cups at their bar bat mitzvah and they want one, whether they got, you know, a ton of Judaica for their wedding, or even other reasons like, you know, maybe a family member passed away and they have a massive Judaica collection and they really want this collection to be recirculated back into the community for those who are in need of items versus the Judaica ending up at a thrift shop. So that's kind of the basic concept of what we do. And so what happens is we get donations and then me and a group of volunteers will sort through whatever donations we've been given and we kind of organize them by category. So, you know, we've got a whole bin of kippot, a bin of talises. We put all of the menorahs together, all of the Passover stuff, kind of whatever makes most logical sense. And then we try to host open free giveaway events about once a month where people can come and it's absolutely free. You can take whatever you want, however much of what you want. And all that we ask is that you kind of check out at the end so that we can keep track of the number of items that are being rehomed. And it's really magical. People leave really excited, cool stuff, things that you can't buy in stores. You know, there aren't really Judaica shops in the Twin Cities. A couple of synagogues used to have some gift shops, but pretty limited if you're looking for Judaica.
I know there are a couple that still do, but, you know, ours are limited potentially, and it becomes really difficult to get there at a, you know, sort of very particular time because it's nobody's full-time job to man, for example, the Bethel gift shop.
Right, right. And the thing with that is like, oftentimes Judaica is expensive. Like, I don't know if you've looked at brand new Judaica, but
it's not cheap.
It is not cheap. And so, you know, if you're just coming out of college and you're trying to get something started, you want your first menorah, like you can't afford a $200 menorah. You know, we've got rent to pay.
That's right. But,
and the cool thing about this is you can get really amazing, like old historical pieces that like, even if you wanted to pay for them, you couldn't find them anywhere, right, which I think is the coolest part.
So you say you require people to check out. So you're able to have like a pretty good inventory of the types of, if not specifics, of pieces that you have?
The inventory is, we don't have a great way to track total current inventory, but okay. We're tracking the items that are leaving so that, like, for instance, at our last event, we know that we had 66 people attending our open giveaway event, and we know that we rehomed 250 items total.
Wow.
Which, yeah, like, it's huge. It's great. And then I'm kind of looking at the general categories of what items are hot items that are leaving a lot. So we're giving away a lot of menorahs, a lot of Shabbos stick candlesticks, a lot of Kiddush cups, a lot of kippot. Like, those are some of the hot items that seem to go the fastest. And then the inventory is mostly just based on whatever is getting donated to us. So sometimes we have a lot of one thing and sometimes we don't. It kind of varies.
So I'd imagine, you know, sort of as we're talking here, it's, you know, mid-January. At the most recent event, right around Hanukkah, I'm guessing menorahs were probably a hotter item.
Yes, exactly. So when we come up around holidays, we're trying to showcase whatever holiday's coming up. So we had, you know, a big table that had exclusively Hanukkah stuff on it. Most of it was menorahs. And then we had a separate table that was kind of Hanukkah decor versus, like, specifically menorahs and, like, a lot of, like, kids, tchotchkes and toys and stuff. As we kind of get closer to, you know, Passover, we're going to try to showcase all of the Passover items that we have.
Which is, you know, coming up all too quick. And I was going to say that's probably that's the next logical thing. And I would guess that's the cycle that Heritage Judaica sort of works on, is when the next major holiday is for needing that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, it's absolutely incorporated in. And we also have, you know, various organizations around the Twin Cities that like partnering with us and kind of inviting us to join an event that they're running and they want us to have a table there. So that's kind of an example, like Temple Israel has done a Purim Bazaar that Heritage has been part of for the last 3 years.
Oh, very fun. Yeah. That's great. And as, you know, as we sort of get back to doing big in-person events, you know, Purim carnivals. I think the 2020 Purim carnival was like the last real big thing that I went to with a lot of people before the shutdown happened. So, like,
yep, I was at that carnival. The last thing I remember doing in public as well before the pandemic hit.
Right. And so now that, you know, hopefully with this coming Purim, hopefully Purim carnivals will be an option again. There'll be more opportunities at in-person things for Heritage to partner in some way to do that sort of thing.
Yeah. And lately we've been really fortunate. So ever since I took over the role, we've been really fortunate to have a space that Beth Jacob has really generously allowed us to utilize. They have a house that's on the same property as the synagogue, and it wasn't being utilized, and we were looking for a space to operate out of. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of partnered with them, and all of our inventory right now is being housed in that house.
Oh, that's awesome. That, I mean, what was it, where was it before? Was it your house, or was it at a warehouse? How did that work?
You know, there's a great story about this, and I'll kind of give you a little bit of history because it's fun to watch how this grew. But basically, back in 2018, when Adam started this, like, it was super small. He was living in an apartment at the time, and there was a hallway storage closet for his apartment unit. And pretty much he would just have a couple of bags of Judaica items. It was super small. And whenever he'd invite friends over for, you know, a Shabbat dinner, which he did a lot of, you know, at some point during the evening, he'd be like, "Hey, want to come look at Judaica?" And I was over there one time and I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." And that's actually, like, when I first heard about the initiative, and I picked up two of my favorite pieces of art to this day that we have hanging in our house. And, you know, we picked up Shabbos candlesticks that we're still using. So from there, things kind of grew a little bit. They moved into a house, and then he had some garage space, so he was able to house a lot more Judaica. And when it came time for me to take over, we talked about finding like a more permanent space to run out of. So I live down in Burnsville, the land of hidden Jews. So I thought most people wouldn't want to drive down to Burnsville, and we wanted something more centrally located. So that's kind of when we started looking and had the opportunity to partner with Beth Jacob.
That's fantastic. So how did you, what was it that, sort of called to you to take this over from Matt?
Well, he asked, first of all.
Okay, that helps. But you said yes, you didn't have to.
That's true. Adam has a magical way about him. You know, within the first week of meeting him, he somehow convinced me to carry a big tree plant across campus at the U of M for him.
How?
I don't know. He asked and I couldn't say no. And that is how our friendship started. Adam and I have been friends for many years at this point. And after the first time that I picked up some Judaica from him, I started regularly volunteering with him, helping him outside of events, organizing Judaica. It's just something that I'm fascinated by. I really enjoy. There's some piece of Judaica that's inherently art. It is, you know, the idea of Hidur Mitzvah. Like, that's what all this Judaica is. And I love art. I am an artist. And I just, the magic around this organization, I just couldn't say no. And then logistically, I was only working part-time, and I had the flexibility to take on a role in Heritage.
Oh, that's awesome. So you mentioned you're an artist. What sort of art do you do?
So I do bookbinding, traditional hand bookbinding. I got into it after we got married. We had all these beautiful greeting cards, and I was like, I'm a really sentimental person, right? So like, I had them displayed on our piano for like months, and eventually I'm like, okay, they got to come down, but like, I want to do something cool with them. And so I had this idea of like, well, what if I, you know, take string and somehow like through the center of the card, string them all together so that you could read it like a book. Started playing around with it a little bit and eventually found some bookbinding YouTube videos and pretty much self-taught myself traditional bookbinding for the first year of working on this. And I'm like, this is perfect. And it, you know, I now make hardcover greeting card keepsake books.
Wow. That's really cool.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun. I really love it. And then, you know, I guess it was January of 2021. I decided like, I kind of maxed out self-teaching myself and I really wanted a mentor. So I reached out to a local bookbinder. His name is Dennis Rude. And I pretty much just reached out to him. I was like, hey, like, I'm looking to, you know, apprenticeship or to learn from someone. And he reluctantly took me on, and I think he has a fun time with me now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So his main gig is book repairs. Okay. So through him, I was able to learn a lot about book repair and conservation and kind of the restoration of old books.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's incredible.
So is that, was that your, what your work was when you had the sort of capacity to take on Heritage Judaica?
Yeah, exactly. I was working part-time at the hospital as a physical therapist. And then part-time I was kind of giving myself, you know, a couple of years to do art, which is something that I really love. And all of that came together and I kind of decided that, you know, I really want to be working in the Jewish nonprofit community. And so when the opportunity came up at Beth Jacob, when they had an opening, I decided to apply for it.
So, excellent segue. You're very good at this. You mentioned the Beth Jacob partnership with Heritage Judaica. Is that what sort of brought you to Beth Jacob with this opportunity where you are also the director of congregational engagement there?
Yes, exactly. So throughout the summer, as I was schlepping inventory from Adam's garage to our new space, I was spending a lot of time there. I was coming about twice a week and I really, you know, got connected with the community there and with the staff that's working at Beth Jacob. I was working closely with them and, you know, it it just became a place that I felt comfortable with. I really enjoyed being there, and I was really looking to contribute and make an impact in a place where it would matter. I love working with people. I love helping people. And it kind of just seemed like the natural place to go.
That's fantastic. So how has the first, short while at the synagogue been for you, working for the synagogue as opposed to Heritage Judaica at the synagogue?
Right. Absolutely. It has been a lot of fun. I love the team. I really enjoy getting to meet and connect with congregant members. It's, such a cool community. Everyone is doing something unique, and I love learning about people. And I also love the opportunity to, bring programming that's going to be meaningful to the community. So I've had a handful of congregant members come up and ask, like, hey, we want to do this. Like, can we make it happen? And that's kind of how this arts and culture series came to be. Our first event kind of coming up here on January 22nd, we're doing the Art of Rap. It's a hands-on workshop for the Tishel Curious. And so, we have a couple of community members, Jessica and Julia, who are going to be teaching how to do the head wraps. And it's going to be a really fun, exciting event. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, it's been great. I've really enjoyed being at Beth Jacob. I'm happy to be there. It's definitely a good place for me to be. And I look forward to continuing the work that I'm doing there.
So is the programming type work that you're having to do there and sort of creating different types of engagement events, is that new for you?
I guess yes, but it's okay. Something that comes pretty naturally to me. Like, I've never done it in a professional capacity. My background is as a physical therapist. Okay. But I think that being a physical therapist, I just had a lot of transferable skills, which is super convenient. And I would kind of say that I'm like the family planner, at least within our household between me and my husband. Okay. I manage the family calendar. I plan events. I tell him where we need to be and when we need to be there. And in recent years, we've started hosting like a Rosh Hashanah Seder, like in our backyards. Like, I'm used to planning stuff. I did quite a bit of it with Heritage this summer, and I like doing it. I don't know. It comes naturally. I enjoy doing it. I'm a process oriented list type person. So you just write everything out and make sure you're not missing anything.
That's really
just go with it.
Very cool though. If people have Judaica that they're looking to rehome somewhere, how is the best way to contact you or to get it to you in some way?
Absolutely. So first of all, Beth Jacob will take donations during the week. So they're open Tuesday through Friday. They're open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., except for on Friday, it's only until 3 p.m. Okay. And pretty much you can just come anytime, ring the doorbell on the left side of the front entrance and drop stuff off. Someone will come open the door and accept things. We also take donations at any of our open giveaway events. So you can come to the event and also just drop stuff off if that's more convenient, as sometimes those events fall on weekends. Yep. And if none of those options work, people can absolutely contact me. I'm on Facebook under Sonia Heritage Judaica Twin Cities. I believe that's my profile name. You can also make a comment on the Facebook page. We have an email, which is heritagejudaica.twincities@gmail.com. So a lot of different ways to contact me. We're thrilled about every donation we get. We really appreciate that, we have community members making these donations. The Heritage Judaica couldn't exist without them. So it's really important.
And we will have links to all of that information in the show notes, and people can check it out after they've listened and go through their stuff as they're cleaning out their house, getting ready for spring cleaning, finding all of these things that they didn't even remember that they had, that they probably maybe don't need anymore, that they could get them
exactly.
To a good home. That is fantastic. Last couple of questions for you. First, okay. What is your favorite Jewish holiday?
Okay, I don't know if this counts, but I really love the month of Elul leading up to Rosh Hashanah. I don't think it counts as a holiday, but I still like mark it as a Jewish time period. I like it because it is a reflective period, and it's a whole month designated to really preparing for the new year. And I have found it to be just like a really spiritual month for me, where I try to kind of reconnect and really reflect on the year before and look at the year ahead and kind of see what direction do I want to be going in.
I gotta tell you, we've done a couple hundred of these podcasts. It was an article series for many, many years before it became a podcast in 2018. And I don't think we've had that answer before, which is awesome. I love when people figure out a new way to stump me or, you know, something on that answer. So that's great.
Hey, mission accomplished.
Well done. Well done. And finally, what is your favorite Jewish food?
Cholent, hands down. I really love cholent. I don't know why. I've only had it a couple times in my life. I was on a Shabbaton in St. Jewish Park and St. Louis Park. And I tried cholent for the first time in my life, right? I was in college and I was like, wow, what is this amazing, delicious Jewish stew? And then I didn't have it for years, but in my mind, it was like this like magnified image of what cholent was. So amazing. I don't know. I like it.
That's awesome. That's enough. I think we've gotten that one before, but not often. That's
what is the most common response you get?
Oh, challah.
That's a good one.
Bagels,
that's
a really good also one. Like Lox. No complaints. Lox. Yeah. Brisket.
Mm-hmm.
Latkes. I mean the staples, but like
matzo ball soup.
Oh yeah, all the time. I do like to put people on the spot and ask them who's matzo ball soup. So I want to find out if they're going to offend somebody in their family.
Honestly, I really like the stuff that comes out of the Manischewitz box. Like I don't know, like it's just good. I mean, but obviously I love my mom's matzo ball soup. Like sure. Nothing is better than mom's, you know, mom's cooking. And
correct.
My mom is one of those amazing Jewish Russian moms that will like send me home with food every time I'm at her place. So it's fantastic.
See, that's the best. That gets stocked up and it's all good.
Exactly.
Well, Sonia Rapport, thank you so much for talking with me today, and best of luck with both Heritage and your work at Beth Jacob. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here.
The Who the Folk podcast is part of the Jew Folk Podcast Network, a product of Jew Folk Inc. Please subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. If you have suggestions for other podcast guests, please email them to me at editor@tcjewfolk.com. For our other shows, check out tcjewfolk.com/podcast.